CliffCentral.com.
Here he is, Justice Malala with The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's, where everything is either lemon and herb, mild, or very, very hot. This morning and this week in South Africa, you can only say that it's very, very hot. And here he is, Justice, good morning. Are you good?
I'm good. Is it a happy week?
No, it's one of those difficult weeks, but it's certainly interesting. One of those weeks where everybody wants to know what you think.
Oh, it's so interesting. It's quite a week.
Can I ask you something before we even get into the things that you want to talk about? You tweeted something last night late that was kind of disturbing. You were retweeting an eyewitness news reporter who'd quoted Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma saying, we need to strengthen our legal systems because the DA have realized they can govern through the courts.
Yes, apparently she gave a speech. She was giving a speech at Wits last night. Now, I mean...
Well, explain to an idiot like me what is wrong with her saying that, because clearly the ANC feel the only place that they don't have absolute authority is the courts.
And this is the nub of it, because where do you go? Where does Julius Malema go when he feels that the president has broken his oath of office, that he's not listening to what the public protector has told him, that he's not following what the constitution enjoins him to do? And so Julius Malema goes to the constitutional court and he wins. Jacob Zuma ends up paying 7.8 million rand and the court says, you, sir, failed to uphold, to respect your oath of office and so forth and so forth. What she is saying is, no, we got to stop these guys from doing what they're doing. Where did the black sash go when it said this contract, which is so bad for so many poor people, needs to be ventilated, needs to be... where is the tender process for a new social grants tender? They went to the courts. So there's clearly a huge sense of frustration within, with some in the ANC. I wouldn't say that all ANC people are non-constitutionalists, but with some feeling that no, the last frontier for capture is the judiciary. And so what she says, and what happened at the Chief Justice's offices when they were burgled immediately after the social grant judgment three Fridays ago, begins to say something is going on here. And the judiciary is seen as the enemy. The judiciary is seen as, oh, you know, you're like Pravin Gordhan, you're blocking radical economic transformation. But what is this code? What's going on here? And I think the code here is, you're stopping us from looting. You're standing up against some of the stuff that's going on. And that, for me, is very dangerous from someone who I think is going to win in the ANC in December 2017 and is going to become your president
so
in 2019.
When she says that we need to strengthen the legal system, I mean, what kind of power, if anything, would the government have from her side to intervene in the legal system?
Well, I don't know what exactly she intends to do, but what seems to be, we've got three arms of government. We've got the executive, and that's Jacob Zuma and his cabinet and so forth. We've got the judiciary, and we've got parliament. Clearly, parliament, we've got that. Executive, Jacob Zuma in charge. And judiciary, why does the judiciary keep on saying Benning Tlemeza, who lied once, twice, three times, four times to get to his position, keeps on being kicked out? So you see, you're stopping radical socioeconomic transformation and so forth and so forth. So what can she do? Essentially, let's change the constitution to fit what we can do, and let's downgrade the role of the judiciary in those three spheres of governance.
The only real arm of government left open to ordinary citizens to fight for their rights.
Essentially, because there are two ways here. If Nomvula Mokonyane, the Water Affairs Minister, is to be believed, when people march on Friday, they will be met. by the ANC. If the ANC Youth League is to be believed, and the ANC Youth League's Fisom Twin is to be believed, when people march on Friday, they will be met with shamboks and all other weapons, as he put it. So,
of course, Jesse Duarte very quickly jumped in and said that they don't support this kind of violence. But the ANC Youth League, what's left of it? I mean, are we even to take these people seriously?
No, don't take them too seriously.
Do you remember that march on ABSA where four of them pitched up at the wrong branch?
Well, that's the one. They did find an ATM, so let's not, don't be too hard.
This is what the mighty ANC Youth League has been reduced to.
Oh,
but Justice, all right, let's start with the most recent developments. Yesterday, the National Working Committee of the ANC had a meeting. I heard, it was 20 people or so?
The National Working Committee of the ANC is made up of the top six of the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's President Zuma, Gwede, Cyril, Zweli Mkhize, Jesse Duarte,
and
Balek Ambete. The top six, they are joined by 20 people. Now, those 20 people are very interesting people. I don't know if you want me to
I'd love to know who they are.
Oh, yes. No, it's actually a beautiful list. I've got to just find it here. It starts with...
I would imagine that, with only 20 people plus the top six, that's a very tight little cabal.
It's a very tight little cabal. But one of the more interesting things about it is that President Zuma moved swiftly after Mangaung in 2012. So in January 2013, people have moved around and it was, okay, you take the top 20, and then it kept on moving around a bit. Look at who's on it. Jeff Radebe.
All right.
Who's been as quiet as a mouse.
Not a peep out of him.
Not a peep out of him. Naledi Pandor.
He is the biggest survivor in government.
He's been there
since the Mandela government.
He survived. But where is he right now? Ask for an interview. Did you see what happened last Monday when President Zuma issued a statement saying, I'm taking over communications of this government?
No.
And who got fired from that job?
Who was it?
Jeff Radebe.
Oh, really?
Jeff Radebe has been essentially been cut out slowly from the center. He's the minister in the office of the president.
Let's just cross to Jeff Radebe quickly. No, nothing.
Number two, Naledi Pandor, who said something quite interesting 2 weeks ago. She said, there are people in this cabinet, I earn whatever, 2 million per annum, and I have a 3-bedroomed house, and there are people with 13-bedroomed houses or whatever it was, huge. And you've got to ask yourself, where do they get the money when the rest of us are struggling? So that's an interesting one. Then we start, Lindiwe Zulu. That's pro-Jacob Zuma.
Sure.
Bathabile Dlamini, pro-Jacob Zuma.
Mm-hmm.
Nomvula Mokonyane, she wasn't going to vote against Jacob Zuma.
Right.
Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula, remember that she had that little problem when she brought a friend from Burundi and
mm-hmm.
so forth?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't vote against Jacob Zuma if I had a little cloud like that hanging over me, because either there would suddenly be charges preferred against me for people smuggling, or I'd be fired.
Right.
Jackson Tembu is number 7 on that list. Now, he would vote against Jacob Zuma. So far, we've got Bathabile Mokonyane, Mapisa Nqakula, who they'd vote, Lindiwe Zulu, the others who would.
So it's 4 plus the president, so that's 5 in favor and about 3 against.
Okay, Nathi Mtetwa, he's not going to vote against the president. His brother-in-law has just become the deputy finance minister.
Okay.
Lindiwe Sisulu. I think she might vote against him. She left the meeting in KZN on Saturday when he arrived. Malusi Gigaba, he's not going to vote against Jacob Zuma. He's just got a nice new job and he's arrived with 28 staff members. Derek Hanekom is on the NWC.
But he's just been fired as a minister.
So he'd vote against Jacob Zuma. Susan Shabangu, she's just been elevated. No way is she going to away. Maite Nkwana Mashabane, imagine with a hole in the head, likely to vote against Jacob Zuma. David Mashobo, it's my phone, it's my phone. It's been tapped.
When he isn't attending massage parlors in Mpumalanga.
Aaron Motsoaledi, well, we know he'd be vote against Jacob Zuma, or vote for Jacob Zuma to go. Bladen Zimande, he's not, he wasn't in the country as far as I know, but that might have changed. Fiki Lekasa, she just got a job as Home Affairs. Is it Home Affairs? Yes, Home Affairs Minister.
Okay.
So there you go. Tina Jumat Peterson just been fired. Just been fired. So she'd vote against to let Jacob go. Sisi Ntombela, vote to Jacob Zuma to stay. Fikile Mbalula, my brother, he wouldn't vote against Jacob Zuma now. Ayanda Jojo wouldn't vote against Jacob Zuma now. So what you saw was that body was packed for Jacob Zuma against the rest of the guys who wanted Jacob Zuma to go. But Jacob Zuma didn't want to take chances. So he said, let's make it an extended NWC. And when you have an extended NWC, you call the leaders of the provinces.
Ah, and he's got that stacked.
That he's got stacked very nicely. So there's Didi Mabuza, who'd already declared on Sunday that, you know what, if you vote against Jacob Zuma, we're going to take you out. And his secretary of the ANC. Then there's Supra Mahumapelo from the Northwest. Oh, and there's Ace Mahashul. And there's the guy from KZN, Sihle Zikalala. And you start thinking,
it's impossible. If there was a voice of dissent in there, that they would be destroyed.
And so basically what happened in there was that Jacob Zuma outplayed them. Now, this is the key to what happens in the future. Thabo Mbeki was taken out by the NEC of the ANC. The NEC of the ANC is pivotal because it can take decisions. The NWC couldn't say, Zuma, you're recalled, or da, da, da. It runs, it's like an executive committee it's not the board, it's not the shareholders meeting. Mm-hmm. It just runs the organization. So what Jacob Zuma was brilliant at, because he can't trust the numbers at the NEC, the numbers might have changed so significantly that there may be now, 3 months after that, 4 months after that call for a motion of no confidence in him by Derek Anacom, that it could be that he's got only 45% and the aunties are 55%. So this meeting took a decision that, no, we don't need an NEC meeting. Remember, the NEC is the body that fired Thabo Mbeki in 2008. That's where the action happens. And this body said, oh, we had an extended NWC. Cyril apologized. Gwede apologized. There was dissonance in what we were saying. Oops, sorry, but we fixed it now and we don't need an NEC. And that is where the fight and the battle is now. There are some in the ANC saying, no, 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 no.
I wonder who could those be?
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
Please.
Is that why he had to appear in front of everybody and apologize, basically?
Yes. Well, he doesn't want to apologize. If you really listen to that press conference. So he quoted a rule from 2012, Mangaung, saying the president has to consult the ANC on any appointment that he makes, to changes he makes to his executive. So he was saying, oh, sorry, we fought, but here are the rules. And the rules are that you must talk to us first. So they clearly lost in the meeting, but he was going there. It was like, it wasn't a sheep to the slaughter, this one. It was a goat, and it was really bleating like nobody's business. And so he was bleating that, no, I might have apologized, I might have, but the rule is the rule, and the rule is that you must speak to us, and you didn't speak to us. So I think the battle is still on. Is it going to be... I think Jacob Zuma won this week. Jacob Zuma won hands down, and it shows you what an excellent, amazing, incredible political player he is. But Gwede Mantashe is still bleating, and so I don't think it's over just yet.
All right, so we've broken down the NWC into its constituent parts, and now we know what the vote was behind closed doors. So we can put the rest together in our heads. More or less, but there must have been some opposition, and there was probably opposition. That's probably why Gwede said, you know, these are the rules. But he also said something interesting about how Brian Molefe is not finance minister, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
If you read between the lines,
and that's basically that we fought, and you might have wanted him to be finance minister, but my brother, you're not going to get that one, and he hasn't got it.
Now, what about Balega Mbete? What's her position here at the moment? Because she's vacillated quite a lot.
I know. Do you remember the State of the Nation speech on February 9 this year? At the State of the Nation speech, the EFF stands up and says, "Ow, Baleka, we want the brother, he can address the house, they raise all the motions of, exigency, point of order, all this stuff that they do to try and block him." But one of the things that Julius Malema got very angry and said, you are protecting that man. And everyone was sitting, what's going on? And he said, he promised you that you would be his successor. And you went and slaughtered a cow and you were happy because Jacob had endorsed you. Now he's used you and dumped you, basically, and he's endorsing Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma to become his successor. Now, please, can we put together a collection for Julius Malema? You know, I just want to give him money and happiness because the guy, some of the best intelligence to come out of the ANC comes from Julius Malema.
I wonder who his guy on the inside is.
Oh, no.
If Jacob Zuma could figure that out, he'd be a very happy man.
He'd be very happy.
Yeah. That's some small Anyana skeleton there.
Yes. But it's brilliant because I think it's interesting that Baleka Mbete still protects Jacob Zuma so much when he clearly used her over the years to protect him. And he's walked away from her. She's not the candidate. She's certainly not the Jacob Zuma anointed candidate. So what's going on with her? And maybe what's going on with her is that she wants to make the crisis for Jacob Zuma continue until when a motion of no confidence happens. That motion of no confidence, remember that the Speaker of Parliament immediately becomes the president if there is a motion of no confidence until there's a vote.
President of the Republic.
Yes.
So, yeah. Baleka Mbete. So it would be President Baleka Mbete.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you're so surprised. She used to be the Deputy President of South Africa, 2008 to 2009.
So do you think that she's, you know, trying to play her own little chess moves there?
Because she actually has tremendous influence here in this situation. I mean,
she is.
She's in control of Parliament. She can make it go any way she likes. She can have a secret ballot if she decides to.
No, think about it. That's the key. If she could say, you know what, DA Musi Maimane has asked me for a secret ballot. After due consideration, I've decided that, yeah, let's have it. So, I mean, she is...
She could single-handedly not only become president overnight, but she could also save the ANC. What little is left of it.
Exactly.
Because if she doesn't, the chances of actually winning in 2019 go down tremendously.
Yeah. No, I mean, the longer Jacob Zuma stays in power, this is what the ANC needs to realize. The longer Jacob Zuma stays in power, the closer it is to 2019. And in 2019, when Mabale walks into that voting booth, top of mind is Jacob Zuma. So, you know, if you think Jacob Zuma is a positive for the ANC, then she will put the X next to Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's face. But, you know, with Jacob Zuma being top of mind, if as the survey that came out, I think it was a TNS survey, came out yesterday that 62%, 69% of South Africans say, hey, Baba, this guy has to go. Then she's going to get in there and say, ah, that's that ANC sign. I'm not doing that because they kept him on for so long. This is a problem for the ANC. So Baleka Mbete is quite pivotal in this whole process right now. And it's interesting that she has to consult the leader of government business on she had to consult him on when there would be a
is that the deputy president?
That's the deputy president of South Africa. That's Cyril. So between Cyril and Baleka, actually they had the president by the
short and curlies. Well, he kind of if he hadn't had that National Working Committee meeting yesterday, he would have been in some trouble.
Yeah, he would have been.
But you say the NEC, the numbers are still not clear.
The numbers are still not clear in the NEC. I see a lot of people going through the names, and I've been going through some of those names. It's 80 members plus the six top six officials. Then it's those guys from the provinces, and there's the Youth League, Women's League as well. So it comes to 110 people who've got to make that decision. And we kind of know what 42 of them are thinking, and that's the NWC. We are left with the other 80, and that's quite a. That's quite a number to count, and so many. What did John Netitenda say? He would most, he'd say this. No. But it's fluid. It's changing, and we're not sure.
You when you came in, I read something out from Bazima Shiloa yesterday. Mm. On Frankly Speaking, they had Bantu Holomisa and Zweninzi Mavavi, and they are all leading marches tomorrow across the country. They're going to be marches in every city. They may be very big, they may be very small, who knows?
Yeah.
It all depends on how motivated South Africans are to stand up for themselves. I don't know whether you're for or against the marches, but do you think it will make a difference to the ANC? Do you think the ANC will take note of this? Because marches traditionally in South Africa have held a lot of sway in terms of what people think public opinion is. And it is the way that people in this country stood up to unfair authority in the past. So it matters symbolically, if nothing else.
I think marching, I think the problem with South Africa is that we don't use our voice enough. And so we get easily despondent that, only 400 people turned up at that march. And so, we give up and the ANC can just go on or whoever can just go on. I believe in voice. I believe in people giving their showing, speaking up, saying what they feel, what they believe is right and proper for their country, because we're all citizens here. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your history is. I believe that you make yourself heard. And sometimes you're wrong. Not every marcher is right. Not every march is for the right cause. But make yourself heard, and then we can have the debate in the public square, and it's a yes or no. So I believe that people, if they want to, they should get on the bus and march. That's how Martin Luther King, that's how Mahatma Gandhi, that's how the great freedom fighters of the world changed immovable, massive regimes. And I believe that South Africa, the example of the 1980s, is that you stand up and you speak.
Look at what the Fees Must Fall March did last year.
Look at what the Fees Must Fall March did last year, and it will continue. So I don't think what people are sort of, you march and then what? You march and it has an impact. But I do think You know, guys, everyone here is so young. Do you remember that song? You know, you and I, Gareth, my old geezer mate. All these young people. There was that song. What was that song, man? It was 1980s. Everyone here was.
Try which one, Justice? I might actually be able to help you here.
Oh, there you go.
I'm an 80s baby.
Oh, there you go. Well. What was that? I Need a Hero. Is it Bonnie Tyler?
Bonnie Tyler.
I Need a Hero.
But now,
yeah.
She was just in the country. You know that.
Oh, yes.
So
she was.
It's a sign. it's definitely a sign.
Oh, yes. She said something about she.
Oh,
there
yes.
you go.
This is the one, right? In the 80s, Justice, were you wearing luminous colors?
Shoulder pads.
You roll up the sleeves on your jacket.
I can see. You're so envious.
I'm envious of the gel dripping from your hair. Yes. Oh, no.
Jerry curls, dude.
Yes.
How dare you? Is this the song that you'll be thinking of if you march tomorrow?
No.
That's the theme song.
Need a Hero. We're looking for someone to save us, right?
No, this is the thing. I think we're looking for someone now to unite the forces that are marching.
All right, and who do you think this person will be? Because if it's a politician, it'll mess everything up.
Exactly. So what happened on Monday? You had all the youth, you had the DA saying, oh, we're marching on Luthuli House. People saying, you see white people now. And then you say, no, Musima Man is black the last time I looked. No, you see white people now. They want to march on that. There's going to be violence. Oh, I'm not going with the DA. And then, you know, the SACP says, I'm marching from Marabastad to the Treasury. And someone else is saying, I'm marching from Church Square to the Union Building. Everyone's going having their own march. You've just told me about two others that I didn't even know about. Everyone, now I'm marching. Before you know it, see, I will be marching from Rivonia to Stanton Square. Yes. I'm marching. Who's driving this thing? Okay. So what I'm, please, Bonnie Tyler, I'm asking for one organization. I'm asking for Save SA, you know?
I mean, that's quite an interesting combination of business people, ex-trade union leaders.
Exactly.
Minority parties.
All of these.
Church organizations. I saw the Katrada Foundation today said that they will be marching in the union buildings too.
There you go. So I wish someone would say, okay, stop. Because if you think about what happened in the 1980s, it's the UDF. It's the UDF under its umbrella. You have the, you know, Hammanskraal Youth Organization, the trade unions.
AZAPO.
AZAPO. You know, it's like everyone, you know, what's the other song? Come Together.
Come together.
There you go. And then everyone comes in and you have but there's an umbrella saying, come. But at the moment, if this thing continues as it is, the DA is marching on the Joburg City Center because they couldn't go to Luthuli House. Like, guys, you know?
Mm-mm.
So my view is that one of the problems with the marches is that they could collapse under these contradictions. No, white people can't march because they didn't march on Marikana. Well, you know, everyone march under one banner. Find a banner. Say the churches are going to lead this or something, someone. But, you know, you can't have this thing where, oh, no, that one can't march, that one can march. And where were you when fees must fall? Blah, God. So,
you know, Rory Sang Chabalala said yesterday on the Frankly Speaking show that we should all just put aside those small differences because we've got a big problem.
Mm.
And if we can prioritize our problems here and all come together and show that this is a civil society thing rather than a political party thing or a big business thing or a white or a black or in any other kind of thing. I heard somebody yesterday, I think her surname is Pile. She's some sort of civil society leader. And she was saying, put aside all the other crap.
Mm.
Let's defeat this monster first, and then we can move on to dealing with all the other problems afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, that's what I'm looking for. Let someone say, this is a civil society march. All of us, Because what you have is, imagine Musiwa Lekota say, no, this is a chance for me to revive COPE. So I have my own march. I have my own march. Quick, come to Rivonia. And then, you know, there's Azapo thinking, what a chance. Okay, get my pictures of Biko out. I'm going to revive. This is what's happening with some of this stuff. And I think that needs to stop. We need, you know, not everyone.
You know, what I was impressed with is that in the last week and a half, we've seen all the other political parties, even the IFP, who've always been reluctant to join the others, sitting at one table, all getting on with it. You even retweeted something this morning, a picture of Julius and Musiwa and Musi,
yes,
all talking to each other with captions.
Yeah.
And if people could get behind all of them where they leave their party branding at the door.
Exactly. This is not, if you're serious about what's going on, this is not about getting 5 more votes. Sure, you will go out on the campaign trail and do that. But we have an issue here. And the issue is that you've got a president who's gone rogue, who doesn't listen to his own organization, arrives with instructions from either Russia or the Guptas or somewhere, and he's not following the prescripts of the constitution. You've got institutions like Treasury. In 3 months, Treasury will be like the SA Revenue Services. We'll be wondering what's going on in there. It will be captured. It will be taken and so forth. And we need to stop this now. And so people need to stop playing, you know, for their own book instead of thinking about, I won't even have a book to play from if this continues as it is. And so, you know, I think these matches are absolutely important. I will be going. I will be working, but I will be going. I want to be there. I think it's absolutely crucial for many of us to speak up. I speak up, and I always say, and you began, I thought, what you asked me when we first started about Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma saying, essentially threatening the judiciary. For me, that is what South Africa is about, that we must protect the institutions. The judiciary must remain independent. I must continue to be proud of Mogoeng Mogoeng and the Constitutional Court, of Judge Bernard Ngwepe and the High Court in Pretoria and so forth. If I start thinking those guys are captured, then we have a problem here. So for me, what has happened to the institutions under President Zuma is absolutely appalling.
You know,
absolutely appalling.
There are a lot of young people in South Africa who I know are not that interested in politics. And I'm talking to people now who are under the age of 30, who know about what's going on. They're not uninformed. But they don't love to hear about politics every day because it's depressing and it doesn't necessarily affect them on their day-to-day journey through life. What's important here is that those people have heard from their parents, they've heard from their uncles, their aunts, their grandparents about the struggle.
Mm.
And they've got something that I've glibly referred to as struggle envy, in that they wish they had something meaningful and purposeful to fight for. And we can see when they do, like Fees Must Fall, it really has an impact. But those young people have got a chance now to also stand up for something important.
Yeah.
This is the defining moment when your grandchildren one day will ask you what you did at this critical time in South Africa, where things could have gone really, really well or really, really badly, depending on how the society allowed them to go.
No, absolutely. And I think the thing you read out from Bazima Shilawa is absolutely right. This is not about loving, hating the ANC. It's about loving your country and saying we've built something meaningful here. The people seem to forget that Nelson Mandela and others didn't say this is the solution. They said this is the basis for us to use the constitution and everything else to build the society we want. What we have going on is that those foundations are being broken. So the society you want cannot be built on the broken foundations. And for me, that is absolutely crucial about the matches tomorrow and about essentially the whole conversation that we've been having over the past few weeks, in fact, over the past year.
Thank you, Justice. That's The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, every week on a Thursday with Justice Malala. And I saw you interviewing a lot of interesting people on the Justice Factor this last few weeks as well. You've had some big names on there.
Oh, I had Monsieur Alekota, Dali Mpofu. Mm. I had that young man from...
Dali Mpofu was very impressive, but he usually is.
Yeah, he was very impressive, I thought. I thought he was very measured.
You know, these guys, like Dali Mpofu and Monsieur Alekota and Mbazi Mashiloa and Zwelinzima Mavavi even, and Julius, these are the canaries in the coal mine. They smelt the stink in the ANC before anybody else.
Yeah.
And they realized it wasn't worth staying in and trying to fix it. They had to get out and fix it from the outside.
Absolutely. I mean, Monsieur Alekota, you know, for all, it's a sad thing, I think, what happened in this with COPE, because Monsieur Alekota and Mbazi Mashiloa, way back in 2007, 2008, you know, Jacob Zuma was singing Aulete Mshini Wami in 2007. And Monsieur Alekota said, it's a Zulu. I'm not. My Zulu is okay, but it's not that great.
See, I will help you.
And Msiwa Alekota said,
"I'm now here.
Why is this man asking for a machine gun when we attained our freedom in 1994? When we have the constitution and all these tools?" And then he broke into Zulu and said, "Agaba."
Which means like he's not smart or like, what's the correct, but basically talking about his intelligence.
It's okay,
that's like it's not fully developed.
God, he should be in the diplomatic service.
I'm trying to find a nice vanilla way of putting it. That's all.
Basically saying what the guy's stupid.
Yeah.
Basically.
Basically.
Thank you. We've got someone who won't make it in the diplomatic service.
It's not fully developed. A nice way.
It's a very nice way of putting it. But, you know, this then the beautiful thing about what we're going through in South Africa now is that no one can turn around and, oh, I didn't know. We all knew Jacob Zuma had appeared in court, having slept with his friend's daughter, taken advantage in his house. There were the 783 counts of fraud, corruption and racketeering. One man had already gone to jail for that, and that was Shabir Sheikh. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by what we're going through.
But also, this is something to be proud of. I keep meeting people, I'm so depressed. And I'm talking about young black people here. I'm not talking about white people who've been depressed for a long time for no good reason whatsoever. And I'm not disparaging white people who care about the country. I'm just
Some of my best friends are white.
But a lot of these people are also like, oh, is it time to leave? Is it time to leave? They've been asking this for, 20 years? It's ridiculous. The point is this. This is a moment for us to be very proud of. It is the next evolution of our democracy. And for a democracy that's only 23 years old, to reach the next step of your evolution this soon is a good, healthy thing. But if we make the wrong decisions at this point, it means going backwards instead of going forwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for all of us in South Africa, it's time to abandon some of the old politics that no longer work for us. And those are espoused by the regime that wants to keep things as they are. Mm. Or we move the country in another direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank
you,
Justice.
Are you going to say thanks to me again? Or can I make one last point?
Go for it.
You keep on kicking me out of the studio.
No, I don't want you. You can stay until 9 if you want.
Mabala and Sia want me to stay. You keep on. Thank you, Justice. Bye.
No, you can stay.
Can I just make one point? I found it interesting that so the relationship between me and Gareth has broken down irretrievably.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Here we go. Here we go.
So it breaks down irretrievably. Mm. And then out of the blue, I decide I agree that, you know, Gareth is going to South by Southwest in the U.S. and da-da-da. The form is signed. He gets on a jet plane out. As he lands, I send him a message. Come back here. Come back here now. I have known that Gareth and I, our relationship is broken. Mm-hmm. Why do I wait for him to get on the jet plane and land? And as he lands, it's a come back now. Mm. Forget about all your commitments. Mm. This is, it doesn't add up. The reasons we keep on being given. So last week it was.
But it was an intelligence report first.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which was bogus. Now it's the irretrievable breakdown.
Now it's the irretrievable. Where? This guy
sound like he's running out of ideas.
He's making it up as he goes along.
So he's vulnerable.
There is something something is going on with this cabinet reshuffle. It's got absolutely nothing with a breakdown. If it was a breakdown in the relationship between the two of them. So why is Mqebisi Jonas going? Please tell me this. Why is there is something going on, and South Africans need to ask this question, that the reasons change every day. So you make up a bogus report. You arrive at the ANC top six last Monday and say, I'm going to fire the guy here. He's going to London and Boston and da-da-da to mobilize against me. Oops. Oh, sorry. That wasn't the reason. It's broken down now. Even, you know, if the relationship between my wife and I breaks down, we'll go to counseling and therapy before she says to me, justice, come back here now.
We're getting divorced.
Exactly. This is ridiculous. It doesn't add up. So it's not the lie. It's the cover-up, and I think we're going through the cover-up of what lies behind this cabinet reshuffle.
But doesn't it also show you that there's a lot of desperation there?
Absolutely.
There's jumping to conclusions, making things fit the you know, square fit the circle and that kind of thing. It's just, it doesn't seem like it's calculated or strategic.
Yeah, there was clearly pressure from some quarter for Pravin Gordhan to go, from Mqebisi Jonas to go, because they were blocking something at National Treasury. They are gone now, and those things are going to happen. And that's the real reason. And that's why the one reason can't be pinned down. It's, oh, no, we got to go for this. No, we got to go for this.
Yeah.
And basically, for the past year and a half, President Zuma has been trying to find that reason to get rid of them, and he's managed to do it.
We're going to talk in the next hour about some things that I know you love, political cartoons.
Oh, yes.
And we've got a great exhibition of these cartoons here in Johannesburg for the next few days. So we're going to talk to those guys. And Stutla, Alan Ford, is going to be in with Steve Kekana.
Oh, fantastic.
A bit later on, which is going to be great. So we'll finish off with this for the Burning Platform for this morning, brought to you by Nando's, as a little throw forward to Alan Ford and the Unview later on with... Feel So Strong. I thought we'd bring your Bonnie Tyler in the 1980s back home. And Hotline.
You remember this? Just so way back.
I know. So why the hell not?
Let's go for it, man. It's our 80s morning.
Protest
today.
Song. Let's go. Something positive for this morning. All right. Thank you, Justice Malala. That's the Burning Platform.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next Thursday, unless the country's gone up in smoke.
Oh. It'll all be good. CliffCentral.com.